Happy Father's Day. There you go. Happy Father's Day to you as well. Thank you so much. You know, as I was watching that, I couldn't help but, think as those things flashed up of, security guard and everything, all these little antidotes that my kids are praying that I don't share today come to my mind, right? About being that kind of father. And I'll keep them in suspense, maybe for one of the other services, but where we are here this morning, we need to jump right in because we got quite a ways to go. But thank you for joining us today on this beautiful, beautiful Father's Day, isn't it? Yes, it is. We've been doing this series entitled Recovery Road, based on asking God to help us with our hurts and our habits and our hang-ups. We all have them. And we've been kind of going through this acrostic with this word recovery, because it's really a prayer asking God to help us to recover and be all that He wants us to be. If you remember, the R stood for realize that you're not God, realize that you need God. E was for earnestly believe that God exists and that you matter to Him and that He has the power to help you, help me to recover. The C was consciously choose to commit my life to Him, to make that born again decision before Him. Last week, Don did a great job in talking about how we need to openly examine and confess our faults to God and to ourselves and to someone else that we trust. So today we're here at the V. Are you like really excited to know what V stands for? Voluntarily is where we are this morning. And here's what we're going to invite you to do, to voluntarily submit to every change that God wants to make in your life. And also to humbly ask Him to remove any character defects that keep you from doing that. You see, here in a nutshell is what I want to do and what I want to accomplish in the next several minutes. I want to help you find the sweet spot in your life. You ever heard that terminology? It's a term used mostly in sports, in baseball, finding the sweet spot on that bat. It's very small. or a tennis racket, and you can tell when somebody hits it on the frame, hits it on the racket. You ever notice that when professional tennis players, when they don't hit the sweet spot and they hit one on the frame, they always apologize to the other guy. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Or golf. I brought this golf club up here. Golf. I fancied myself years ago as somebody that really loved to play golf. And several years ago, they started coming out with these big head drivers. I'll never forget Dick Hamer. I wish he was here this morning, because Dick told me one time that he succumbed to the pressure of buying one of these big head drivers because the advertisement said that guaranteed you'll hit it 40 yards farther. And Dick told me, said, John, it is absolutely correct. He said, I have to walk 40 yards deeper into the woods to retrieve my ball. Okay? Now, I don't know if you've ever seen one of these things. This isn't the latest one, but this one is actually mine. Look at that thing. Isn't that big? You know why they did it like this? Because they could make them out of much lighter metals to make the sweet spot bigger. Okay? In other words, it's a lot easier with this club to hit it on the sweet spot. And I don't do it very often anymore, hit it on exactly on the sweet spot. But when I do, it's a joy. I remember I was playing in a little scramble down at Johnson Bible College a couple years ago, and they hooked me up with these three guys that needed a person on their team, and they were from Illinois. And one of them was a guy named Clyde. Clyde was 93 years old. Okay? And he was pretty good, really, for his age, and he was just such a sweet, sweet old man. And on this one hole, never forget it, 17th hole, they were having the long drive competition on that hole. And I thought, man, I'm going to really try. And I said, Lord, help me hit a good one here. And I got it on the sweet spot, and I screamed one out there, and it rolled and bounced past the marker that was keeping up with who had the longest drive. Well, I went up, and I looked on there, and there were a couple people that I actually knew on the list, which I was kind of glad I hit it further than them. And then it hit me, and I wrote down on this little thing, Clyde. and I stuck it back in the ground. Later that day, they gave out the prizes, and they said, for the longest drive on hole number 17, Clyde. And little 93-year-old Clyde got up, and he walked up front, and he got his prize. And I got more joy out of that than anything that I could have gotten. You know, because you know what? I got it on the sweet spot. But then there was just something about the whole thing that really set really well with me. Listen, folks, that's what this sermon is about. It's about finding that sweet spot in life. Here's what God's Word says about it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We've looked at this passage in other ways, but I love it here with this. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now think about this for a moment, folks, because I think what he says here, he's offering you to find the sweet spot in life. That's what he says there. He says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, find that place in life where you are happiest in obedience to God. He also says in this passage, and I highlighted a couple of places here for you to see. He says, do not conform. You see, that's the whole key of finding the sweet spot in your relationship with God, is not allowing your life to conform to the things and the patterns of this world. He also says, but be transformed. Don't conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then look at this. He says, then you will be able. You want the sweet spot of life? Here's how you find it. You find it in this kind of total surrender to Him. He says His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. Who doesn't want to get there? We all want to get there. And God wants to help. And here's the thing that either helps you get there to that sweet spot or hinders you from getting to that sweet spot. You know what it is? It's your character. Somebody defined character one time as who you are in the dark when nobody else is looking. And you know what? Your character is either helping you find that sweet spot, helping you voluntarily, totally surrender to God, or your character is hindering you from that because of things in your life. Have you ever even thought about where your character comes from? I find this really interesting. Three things. Number one, it comes from, we inherit it. It comes from our chromosomes. I found it interesting, I didn't know this, that your father and your mother both contributed 23,000 chromosomes each to make up who you are. And you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, or encouraging or discouraging, a lot of times the weaknesses of our parents are passed on to us. You know, as I think about my parents and even what they went through health-wise, and, you know, I think about my father, even though he really wasn't in my life, some things that happened in his life, and you see those things in your own life. I mean, the apple certainly doesn't fall far from the tree. And you know what? Those kinds of character things that we get from our parents, it might explain our predisposition to certain things, but we should never use it as an excuse for sin, or an excuse for failure. You know, just because your dad, just because, you know, somebody in my family had a really hot temper, that doesn't mean that I have to give in to that. I mean, maybe you come from a whole clan of lazy people. Anybody want to know? Does that mean that we have to then be lazy? See, genetics have a lot to do with it, but there's something else that really contributes to it, and that's our circumstances, our nature, the things that happen to us. I mean, we not only inherit things from our parents, we learn things from them. And we learned how to respond in certain ways. And a lot of our defects are simply self-defeating attempts to meet some unmet need that was kept from us as a child when we were growing up. But all of us have this legitimate need for love and for acceptance. And sometimes because of the way our parents responded in those areas, or people around us, or the environment that we were in, it kind of shapes who we are. And then here, there's one more thing that contributes to your character, and it's the choices that you make. I mean, if we choose something to do something long enough, it becomes a habit. And once it becomes a habit, we're stuck. And we need to make sure that we are careful about that. I mean, think about it. Are you like me? When I get up in the morning, I don't even have to think about it. I usually roll over and I turn my clock off about 3 minutes before it's going to go off. And then I put my feet out the side of the bed, and first thing I do, I put on my glasses so I can find other areas in my home. And then I walk out the door, and my dog follows me, and he follows me into the kitchen where I turn on the coffee pot. And then I walk to the door and I let him out. And then I go to that little room in the house that everybody goes to early in the morning. And then when I come out of there, I fix my coffee and Wilson's ready to come in. And he comes in and we sit down and we enjoy a cup of coffee together every day, right? You don't even have to think about it. We're habitual people. But here's the real question I want to ask you today from this passage. Why is it so hard to change? Why is it so hard to look at life and where we come from and know the genes that we were given and understand the circumstances that shaped us and the choices that we've made, and then to stand at a place and want something different, want something better, desire it as much as anything else in life? And then when you try to do it, why is it so hard? Rick Warren, in his study on this, he gives some things that I think is really, really interesting. Let me just share them with you just in a kind of a list form. He says, number one, it's really hard to change because we've been doing it so long. I mean, we don't make these habits overnight. In a lot of cases, it took years to get where we're going. And our desire for change is so instantaneous, but yet it took a long time to get here, and it takes a long time to get somewhere else. Number two, he says, because of our identity, that we confuse our identity with these things, and we don't know why, but we often confuse our identity with our defects. And we say things like, you know what, it's just who I am. It's how I was raised. It's where I come from. He says, number three, that a lot of times it's hard to change because of the payoff. With every defect, there's something that we get that we like. And that thing that we get sometimes masks our pain. It gives us an excuse to stay in a mode of failure. It may allow me to compensate for my guilt in life. It may get me attention. That defect may allow me to control other people. And anytime he says a negative is repeated over time, it not only affects you, but it affects everyone around us. And a lot of times it's hard to lay those things down just because of the things that we get. Number four, he says a lot of times it's hard to change because Satan discourages us. We want to change, but then when we don't change and we continue to fail, Satan is right there just chirping in our ear, telling us, yeah, see, I told you, that's exactly right. So a lot of times we can't get there. But here's the point today, folks. How can we cooperate with God to bring about the needed changes in our character today? I mean, what can we do to get there? Because listen, folks, God wants to help. He wants to help. Look back at the scripture again. He says there, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, folks, that's the thing. We got to focus. I mean, the sweet spot is never found unless there's absolute focus. You watch the U.S. Open today. The U.S. Open golf tournament, every year it ends on Father's Day Sunday. And you watch those guys. They are so focused. They are so in tune. They know that that sweet spot is the most important thing. So if you and I can focus on that as well and understand that God wants to help us, that God wants to be there for us, that He wants to help us with our focus in staying in touch with Him. So let me give you another list here that I think will help. Some things we need to focus on. Number one, we need to focus on one thing at a time. A lot of times we don't change because we're trying to change everything. But if we can change one thing, listen to Proverbs 17, verse 24. He says, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Isn't that great? An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. And here's the thing, folks. When we try to change everything, we get overwhelmed. We get discouraged. And what happens then is not that we can change everything, but then we end up not changing anything. Maybe just a prayer like this. God, help me be a better person. You know, help me to speak words that are appropriate. Here, let me give you another thing, because not only one thing at a time, but focus on victory. One day at a time. Listen to what Matthew 6:11 says. Give us this month our daily bread. No, is my wife the only one that noticed that? Give us this day our daily bread. Why? Because God wants to give you enough strength to change today. Not to think about a week, not to think about a month, not to think about the rest of your life, not even to think about eternity, but to think about today, to think about what you can do today. You know the old saying, don't you, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One bite at a time. Life is so hard. But if we break it down into these manageable steps of one day at a time, God can help us. So focus on the victory that God can give you today. I got to share this. I was talking with a young person here this morning, and she had this bag of beautiful fruit, strawberries and grapes, and I was really wanting her to offer me some. And I said to her about how nice it looked, and she said, I've started eating gluten-free. And she said, I've done it for 6 days. Isn't that awesome? How does 6 days turn into a month one day at a time? How does a month turn into a year one day at a time? How does a year turn into a lifetime one day at a time? You know, you're doomed to failure if you try to change everything. But if you focus on one day at a time, Jesus said it this way, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough troubles of its own. One day at a time. You see, the problem with that is that we want everything instantaneously. You know, think about the whole, you know, the whole world of how it looks at things. You know, I talked to this one person one time, and they said, you know, I want to get liposuction. I said, man, I could never do that. Why would somebody want to do? You know, because you know we don't want to take the time to get somewhere when somebody offers us an instantaneous cure or something to do right now. Here, let me give you a third one that I think is awesome. Make sure you focus on God's power and not your power. Matter of fact, focus on God's power, not even your willpower, because your willpower isn't enough. We always need to recognize our need for God in this. How about this one? Number four, focus on what you want, not on what you don't want. Paul says it this way, Philippians 4:8, fix your thoughts on what is true, good, right. Think about things that are pure. In other words, instead of thinking about, oh my goodness, I don't want to be this way, ask God to help you to think about the person that you want to be. Because whatever you focus on is what dominates your life. You know, I think I've told a few of you, our house was overrun with chipmunks and squirrels. And I was at Tractor Supply, my new favorite store, by the way. I'd never been in there before a month ago. I love it. And I went in there, and you know what they had? They had a chipmunkinator. It's a special trap to catch chipmunks. They said it would hold 20 at a time. So I bought this thing. I put it out. I put some seed in it. I came out the next morning. There were 5 chipmunks in that little trap. But here's the thing about it is my dog is going crazy. Because I have the trap set just past the electric fence there where he can't go. So he just sits there. And he looks at this little wire box full of chipmunks. I'm not sure what he's thinking. I think I can read his mind. He would love to get over there. But he's just, you know, he goes out. Instead of going out into the yard and doing what dogs do in the yard, he just runs out there and looks and sits. Until you actually go out and get him and make him. That's what his focus is on. Think about it. What is your focus on? Are you focused on what has trapped you, on the habit that is imprisoning you, or is your focus on the victory that you can have in God? Do you know there's 7,000 promises in the Bible? 7,000 times in the Bible, God's Word promises you something. And every time we think about some thought, some negative, some habit, it gets deeper and reinforced in our brain and in our behavior. And some of you right now, you are in such negative ruts that's all that you can focus on. Listen, folks, focus on what you want, not on what you don't. Here's another one. Focus on doing good and not feeling good. You know, focus on doing good and not just feeling good. Folks, we need that one in a great way. Galatians chapter 5, I love the verse there. It says, if you are guided by the Spirit, you will be in no danger of yielding to self-indulgence. Focus on doing good, doing the right thing. Your feelings will eventually catch up with you and they will keep you in that rut. If you wait until you feel like changing, you'll never change. The devil will make sure that your feelings always stay there, always desiring that. We gotta focus on something else. And here's the thing, folks. When you focus on doing good rather than feeling good, you're focused outward and not inward. You're focused on others and not yourself. Hear me give you the next one. The next one. Focus on people who help you and not people who hinder you. The right kind of people will encourage you. They will help you. The wrong kind of people will hinder you. They will prevent you from recovery. I mean, everybody that has ever gone through any kind of successful recovery will tell you that recovery became possible when they finally got away from all those negative influences. And then in number 7, I love this one. Focus on progress and not perfection. You know, some of you have been talking about recovery for a long time. You know, you may say things like, you know, I don't see very much change yet. You know, I've been in recovery for whatever amount of time and I don't see a whole lot of change yet. Don't worry about it. Focus on the process. Focus on the little victories day by day. It's a decision followed by a process. And God wants to start working in you and establish a safe place, a bulkhead, if you will, in your life that will start you on this beautiful, beautiful road of recovery. Man, I just think that's awesome. You know, make sure you're... Here's how you hit the sweet spot in life every day when you're talking about living a life and enjoying a life of recovery. This is it. But here's the thing, folks. When can God do this? God can do this. God can do this in your life when you do something. You see, we want this. We see it as a goal, and we want to make it happen. But then, how's it going to happen? It's going to happen when we voluntarily give our lives to God and understand that He's going to help us on this process, and He's going to help us find that sweet spot. And we may not hit it every time. Matter of fact, we may only hit it occasionally. But when we hit it, it is wonderful. You know, this whole golf analogy. I played golf with my son-in-law recently, and you know, neither of us played very well, and I had a pretty high score. But the very first hole, I hit a drive, sweet spot down the middle. Had about 140 yards to the pin, and I hit a 9-iron really well, and I knew it was on the green, and I walked up, and it was about 3 feet away. And I tapped it in, and it was like birdie. I thought, I'm going home. One hole, birdie. I was one under par, and I shot 93. Only birdie of the day. Matter of fact, only one is close to a par, I think. But that one time, you know what that one time did? I wanted to go back. Because when you find that sweet spot, when you hit that sweet spot, and it just brings so much joy to your life, and God wants you to have that. But you know when He wants you to have it? When you're entirely ready. Bible said Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't knock your door down. He just invites. And you know what, folks? This road to recovery, this sweet spot of life, when we voluntarily submit every change that God wants to make to our life, and we humbly ask Him to make the necessary changes in our character, when we're entirely ready to do that, God is entirely ready to help. It can happen through His power. The only question is are you ready? Let's pray. God, we want to be ready. Lord, we want the necessary focus in our life to be on You. God, we want to feel the joy of that sweet spot of life. That, Lord, when we wake up and we know that we are made up by what our parents gave us, by the circumstances and how we were raised, by the choices and decisions we've made, but that, Lord, we're not stuck in any of that. We can choose the things that were given to us through all those experiences in life, and we can keep them, and they can bring us much joy. Or, Lord, we can turn away from those things that were destructive, those things that were negative, those things that the devil used to take us places that we never should have been. God, it's never an excuse to say that that's just who I am. That's just how I was made. That's just how I was raised. God, help us to choose something better for ourselves. But it's all about focusing on You, Lord, and accepting the help and the power that You want to give us. So, Father, I pray that not only as an illustration, but, Lord, as a reality for all of us, that we hear You saying to us, are you ready? And we respond, yes, Lord, we are ready. Do with us and change us and mold us into who You want us to be. Father, may it happen even now in this moment as we sing together. In Jesus' name, amen.